Yeah, the topic of Shehiyah shouldn't really take so long, but unfortunately, because we have to have a bit of a shorter share tonight, we'll have to stretch it at least over one more week.
Right.
Last week, we laid the groundwork for what the Isser, the possible Isser of Shehiyah is. And we began with a discussion, Machlekes Beisham and Beis Hillel, whether there's an Isser of Shvisas Kelim. Whether it's known as Bechuyiv to make sure that his Kelim, in essence, are Shemar Shabbos for him. And we saw we don't pass like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says yes. Beis Hillel says no. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. And the Gemara and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph Amud Beis Maseches Shabbos asks the simple question: if that's the case, that there is no Shvisas Kelim, so then what would be the Isser to leave a pot on the fire? We're talking about a like a big vat that they were dying wool in. Good evening, John.
How are you?
Thanks for joining us. So the Gemara was talking about a case where a person has a big vat sitting on a fire and he was dyeing something in it. The Gemara says if there's no problem for a person's possessions to do malacha for him on Shabbos, so then why can't a person leave this thing cooking on the fire? So the Gemara explains that there's an issue that we're nervous if a person leaves something cooking from the beginning of Shabbos until throughout Shabbos, what's going to happen is he's going to see. Again, they didn't have gas flames, they didn't have electric flames. It was all powered by coal, and we see that the different types of materials make a difference. But ultimately, if you have coal, the fire can go down. You have to do something to raise the flame. And raising the flame is Havara. So that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said the potential reason why it would be usur for somebody to leave a pot on the fire from before Shabbos into Shabbos is because we're nervous that he's going to want to serve the food and see that it's not cooked to his satisfaction, he's going to adjust the flame to cook it properly. That's the base. That's why there would be an issue. That point is going to be the point you're always going to have to deal with anytime you want to decide whether you can leave a pot cooking or not. Now, we mentioned also that the mission at the beginning of Parakira is very ambiguous. It's not clear what it's talking about. The Gemara says that if you have an oven and it's heated up with gefes ve'etzim. Again, the point of gefes ve'etzim is that it leaves behind the coal. You light it, and it leaves behind the coal. Since you're leaving behind the coal, there's what to stoke. There's what to do to make the fire bigger. If it's heated with kashu gvava, those things don't leave a coal. They burn, and they disappear. So there's nothing to worry about. But again, a kira, an oven, which is heated up with coal, the Gemara says you should not put a pot on it until you do something called grufa k'tuma, until you either empty out the coals or cover the coals.
So if your oven's heated by straw.
There's no issue of heating with straw.
We have no
straw.
Concern of you wanting to take more straw and throwing it in there. That, we're not going to go that
right.
far.
Right, so Ramesh discusses that. There's no issue of we're not worried the person's going to go get more coal and put it in. We're worried that the person's going to deal with the coal that he has now. I'll give an example of what would be a modern-day kashu gvava. Let's say you have those sternos. There's nothing you can do besides lighting a new one. If the fire goes down, could you make it bigger? Nothing you could do about it. A candle. Let's say people have sometimes you have a big soup bowl. They have these glass bowls, a little place for a tea light on the bottom.
Yeah.
You put a tea light on the bottom. If you don't think it's hot enough, the worst idea would be to start playing with the tea light because the only thing that may happen is the tea light will go out.
Right.
Right? So these cases don't leave anything to be stoked. If you have coals on the bottom of something, that's when the whole issue starts. Now, the mission at the beginning of Kira says you should not put a pot on top unless you do gufa k'tuma. The Gemara doesn't say when you're putting the pot there. Does it mean you can't put it before Shabbos? Does it mean you can't put it on Shabbos? How would you potentially put a pot on top of a fire on Shabbos? Through the method of chazara. We know that we'll get into these halachas in more detail later on, but there are ways you can take a pot off the fire on Shabbos and put it back on. So is that Mishnah talking about returning a pot to the fire, or is that Mishnah talking about putting a pot on from before Shabbos? It seems that this would depend on a machlekes between the Chachamim and Chananya, and the Gemara goes through a long arichas trying to prove what it is. Ultimately, this was last week's year, there's a big machlekes rishayim how we paskin. It ends off as a machlekes is really, I brought the sources again in source number 2 and 3, where the Bir Halacha quotes a bunch of rishayim who are mekel, but he says, you know what? Ultimately, a lot of those rishayim who wanted to be mekel wanted to say that the only problem would be to put it on Shabbos, but to put it on from before Shabbos is okay. Even though, theoretically, that's mutter, the Bir Halacha says, really, we should try to be machmir. And the Chazon Ish, he disagreed. He said, there's no reason to be machmer. We're going to see that more clearly in Shulchan Aruch. Now, there's one point that we have to discuss as well. And I'm sorry that I'm out of order here in the source sheet, but if you go to source number 7, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, this is, to my knowledge, the longest sif in Shulchan Aruch. Badafka made a lot of the letters very small because I'm not going to read those tonight. But it's important that we'll start like this. Kira Shiasui Kikdera. You have an oven which is made like a pot. We described what it looks like last week. It's basically a rectangle. It's a rectangle with a big hole in the middle, and on top there's two holes. And what they'll do is they'll fill up the hole in the middle with coals, and then they'll put the pot, if either it's a large pot, they'll put it on top, it'll sit on top of the hole and get heat. Or he'll hang the pot inside there so it will cook. So you have this kiro, it's an oven, it's made like an oven, you rest on top of the opening a pot. There's room for two pots. So im huska begefes shehu psayla shal zesim. If it's heated up with gefes, which is the leftover olives that you pressed, ay be'etzim, or with wood, says the Shulchan Aruch, asr litin alea tavshim yibayim, you cannot put food on there from before Shabbos, lahash hoise alea elam ken nispashal kol tzarchivu mitzdamik virale delek lamecha shem yechata. The first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, first opinion of the Mechaber is that a person cannot put a pot on top of a fire that leaves behind coals unless it's nispashal kol tzarchai umitztamek viralei. That's one way of doing it. It's nispashal, it is 100% cooked. We skipped, we're in source number 7, we'll come back. So again, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if a person has this double oven, and it's significant what type of oven it is, we'll focus on that during another year, exactly what type of oven, how we compare our ovens today to those ovens. But ultimately, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you cannot put a pot on top of this oven if there are coals in it, because if there are coals in it, you may stoke the coals to raise the flame. When can you do it? Either a food which is 100% cooked, and the more it cooks, the worse it gets. So there's no logic. Why would anybody want to stoke that flame? The only thing he'll do to his food is ruin it. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is, at the end, right before it gets smaller, it's Elmkin, Garaf, Tan, Shaitz, Ben, Kol, Kolom. So let's leave it out for now. Unless you do Grufa Ktuma, we'll discuss what Grufa Ktuma is. Grufa Ktuma means either what we call nowadays a blech. We'll see the Chazon Ish doesn't like that, but what we call a blech, in other words, you cannot leave this food cooking in this oven unless you cover the flame. That's what the halacha is. That's the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch. If we skip after all the small little words, the source number 7, Vyesh Aymru. There are those who say, as long as the food has already hit the point where it can be eaten, it's not good, you wouldn't want to serve it like this, but it's called ne'achal adei etchak. If you have no other choice, you eat it like this. In other words, I don't know what a modern day example of what that would look like, but something which is not cooked to perfection, but it's edible.
Extra rare,
right. As long as it's cooked a third or a half, so let's get the two opinions straight. Opinion number one in Shulchan Aruch: unless the food is going to get bad if you stoke the flame, you cannot put that pot on top of this oven unless you do grufu ktuma, unless you cover the flame. The second opinion is, not so chomer. As long as the food is edible, you're allowed to leave it on. Because, remember, stoking the flame is nisim midaraisa. A person is not going to violate nisim midaraisa for no good reason. It's only if the food's just not edible. He has guests. He wants to serve the food. He's a caterer. He has to put food out there. And the food is not edible, he'll just lose his mind. And before he gets time to even think about it, he raises the flame. But if it's edible, he has, he's more composed.
So you're really talking about the mindset of the person.
Correct.
Meaning here, I would always assume that stoking the flames was going to be something that you're going to do b'shogeg. because you're just like, you're not thinking, and it's kind of, you do it all the time. It's a natural thing to do when the flame's going down. You want to push those coals to like re-hit the flame.
Right, so I'm agreeing with you here. I'm agreeing with you that it's a shogeg, but the way I would remember, a person doesn't wear a ver of a shogeg.
Describe this, meaning I would describe this. The shogeg
in my case is
that your notes, it's like, but you just kind of like lose your composure.
Exactly. That's exactly how I understand it. A person, when he gets bahol, the concept comes up all the
flustered.
Time. Yeah, he gets flustered. He has to serve the food. He has to get the food out. The food is not edible. And now when he gets flustered, he can't think properly. So if he has people waiting for the food, his wife is there, he has guests there, the food is just going to be pink chicken, you can't serve that. So what he'll do is he'll just raise the flame. So this is that point of machlekes. The first opinion says the only way a person is fully composed is if the food is cooked all the way. And not only that, he has to have that extra shmira, that raising the flame is going to make it bad. Second opinion says it's not true. Once the food's edible, people are already they're in control of themselves. Once they're in control of themselves, they're not going to raise the flame. So
this is talking about Mubayyam and it's not talking about Chazar at all.
Correct. This is talking about Mubayyam, exactly. Those are the two opinions. The second opinion is the opinion that we mentioned last week of Hananiah and the Gemara. That's the opinion of Hananiah. And then if you look at the last underlined part, in source number 7, it's the Ramah of Hagav v'nagu l'hakol k'svar achreina. Says the Ramah, we're mekel. Ashkenazim are mekel k'svar achreina. We would, if you have a chalant, and you started cooking it on Erev Shabbos, so it started to cook, it reached that halfway mark, it's not edible, it's really barely edible, but it's halfway cooked. At that point in time, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it because a person is not going to stoke the flame under something which is already halfway cooked.
Meaning, and it's in the fire at that point.
Yeah, it's on the fire.
We're not talking about crock pot.
Well, we have
there's
to
pot, you,
we have to define what a crock pot's called.
There's not, I mean, is
no, you were discussing that last week, though. Crock pot that has a control.
A dial.
Has a control. Oh, so the question so is
have,
that
have
that.
No controls.
Right. So I would rather wait till a week when we could just tackle all these issues together, and we'll come with a bunch of practical examples. What's a hot plate? What is a crock pot? What is a warming draw? What is a flame? What's an electric fire? A gas fire? Just all these things. We have to discuss all of them. And I think if we just start giving practical examples now, we're going to end up just being confused. So I think it's worth it to just get the basis of the halachos with an oven that has wood in it, and then we'll try to apply them to our cases. So
does this discuss at all if something's totally raw?
Yes.
Beforehand?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get there in a second. But one of the points over here that comes up a few times is the idea of mitzdamek v'yafale, mitzdamek v'rale. I mean, mitzdamek literally means it dries out. When it dries out, does it get better or does it get worse? That's the discussion. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it has to be...
It gets worse.
It has to be mispashal kutzarech, and it gets worse. According to the Ramah, the only time that that's relevant is if it has not yet reached Meichel Ben Rusai. It has not. The truth is, I have to be very careful because it's machlekes on every single word of it here. But let's just say in the Shulchan Aruch, in the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, in the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch, then if something is this Bashak Tzarchi umitzdamek v'yafalei, a chalant I think is a very good universal example. Everyone agrees. A chalant gets better as it cooks longer. Right, so you'll say, how long does it take for a chalant to cook for it until it's considered ready? Let's say 3 hours. 3 hours after it's cooking, it's ready to be eaten. 6 hours, it's much better. So it's considered in the special kutzarchi 3 hours after you started cooking it.
Friday night.
Right, Friday night, it's much better. And someone argues Shabbos day, it's even better. So it gets better. The more it dries out, the better it tastes. Okay?
Or if you can't, then it would be us to do that.
It would be a problem. Exactly. Mm. Now, I want to discuss... how do we define mitzdamek v'yafale? How do we define the mitzdamek v'rale? And I'll tell you what the problem is. Because there are those who learn in the Shulchan Aruch, in the second opinion, they read it like this. V'yesh ayim shekal shem spashal k'maychal ben drusay, anything which is cooked, k'maychal ben drusay, ayishin spashal kal tzarchai u'mitzdamek v'yafale. Those words, mitzdamek v'yafale, what is that referring to? Some say that if it's only a third cooked, it's fine to leave it on the fire as long as it's mitzdamek v'ra'ali. Okay?
Because it gets worse.
After right. third cooked.
Correct. No, so that's exactly going to be the problem. If that's the case, we have to ask ourselves a question. How can you have something which is one-third cooked and its continued cooking process makes it worse?
A steak.
It just doesn't make any sense. No, so a steak, you're going to argue that a rare steak is considered cooked all the way.
Medium rare.
I want to bring you to
Wait,
the words.
If medium is halfway cooked, then medium rare would be a third cooked.
Okay, I want to take you to source number 5 and source number 6. I want to just bring those words to you. Look at this is the Baal Amar. It's a pirush on the Rif in source number 5. He says El kulu sharyun, everything is mutter. Bekol shehu kamaycha ben drusai, as long as it hit that point of maycha ben drusai. Fahani mili b'mitstamek v'ralai. That's only if it's mitstamek v'ralai. Avo mitstamek v'yafalai. Lebei medinchel. Let's leave that out because we didn't learn the Gemara. Dimekarvi l'rav v'shmol ei mashen agabi kurish eni gufa k'tuma. Look, Balmar says black on white. If something reaches that point of one-third cooked, but it's mitstamek v'yafalai, you can't leave it on the fire. They go jump to the next source, number 6. The first thing they underline, the kimin chikain. Hey chiyala aleiv chacham leimar de kamaycho ben drusoy shari. V'ha'i efshel maycho ben drusoy shle yehe b'shiyas b'tzamek v'yafalei. It's just impossible for you to have a case where something is one-third cooked and it won't be good for the food for it to continue cooking. So the question over here we have to ask is, what in the world is the Baal Amar talking about? You don't need to be a genius to realize that there's something wrong here. Right? There's something obviously wrong. He realized that once something, if something's only a third or halfway cooked, it's good for the food to cook another halfway or another two-thirds. So what did he mean? So I want to propose to you that we see over here a fundamental machlekes in what it means for something to be mitzdamek v'yafalei. According to the Baal Amar, what mitzdamek v'yafalei means is this food, not now, I'm not talking about now, I don't care about this minute. This food, is it better when it dries out more, or is it worse when it dries out more? In other words, you could have a food which is one-third cooked, potato kugel, right? You put it into the oven. Right now, it's only a third cooked, right? It's really barely edible. It needs the extra two-thirds. But we're going to agree that the overnight potato kugel is going to taste very good. That food is by definition mitzdamek v'yafalei. Even though, right now, I mean, that's going to be a good case. I mean, take another case of something which is a piece of meat. The longer meat cooks, the worse it gets. Besides, for some of them you buy in Israel, you have to cook it overnight until it gets soft enough. But the bottom line is, most meats, the longer that it cooks, the more dried out it gets. So meat, by definition, we're going to say is mitzdamek v'ra'ali. Right. Even though right now it still needs more cooking, says the Baal Amar, you define mitzdamek v'yafalei, mitzdamek v'ra'ali, on the food that you're cooking. A piece of meat, says the Baal Amar, even though it hit that point of one-third cooked, if it's mitzdamek v'yafalei, you can't leave it on the fire. The Ramban disagrees with that. The Ramban says that's not true. We define it by the here and now. Right now, is it good for it to continue cooking or is it not? And therefore, by definition, anything which is good for it to cook right now is mitzamek v'yafalei. A potato kugel that's one-third cooked is mitzamek v'yafalei regardless of whether you like overnight kugel. The piece of meat which is one-third cooked is mitzamek v'yafalei regardless of whether it's going to dry out and turn into a piece of beef jerky that you didn't intend to be beef jerky. The bottom line is that we define it by the here and now. And that's a very important point to understand, because it helps us define what the halacha is going to be. So that's number one. We're going to get into the halacha of that very soon. The next point that I want to talk about tonight is raw. You mentioned raw. In source number 8, the question is if we should start this now, because we only have about 5 minutes left. We'll start it with the first two sources. We'll see how far we get, and then we'll hopefully can pick up with it next week. I'm sorry that I'm rushing through it. It's just that. All right. That same Gemara that we discussed earlier that talks about what the problem would be to leave a pot on the fire says, V'ashad damar mar gzer shem yechat v'kholim, hay keder chaysa, a pot of raw food, shari la'anucha erev Shabbos im chasheicha betanura. You're allowed to put it on the oven on erev Shabbos.
To leave it.
Correct. My time akim delechazi leorta asuchi daite minei, you're putting a raw pot of food on the fire right before Shabbos. What does that indicate? That indicates you don't want to eat it tonight. So if you don't want to eat it tonight, you have a lot of time until your suda in the morning, especially if you daven in suburban. By the time you get home to eat your chalent, it will have cooked for a good 18 hours. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're putting raw food right before Shabbos, this is the Gemara actually, it's fine. And not only that, the Gemara continues, not only does that work, if you have a pot of food that's cooking, and it's problematic to leave it there, throw in a bone, a raw bone, you fixed up the whole pot. Because then again, that indicates that you don't plan on eating that food tonight. We'll discuss in more detail, because there's a lot of...
to indicate that you have to do something physical to that, as opposed to, well, we can have the chili tonight or tomorrow.
Right.
So, but tonight, if we eat a little bit later,
in other words, you're asking another question. Let's say we just all know. We all know that this food's for tomorrow. Does it have to actually be raw, or the fact that we're going to leave it for tomorrow, is that good enough?
Or the opposite, which is if I have two things on my stove, and one of them is... not 100%. When I put it on Shabbos, it was raw. By the time I got home Friday night, it's starting to cook. I might want to have it tonight, but I'm like, you know what? The only way I can leave this on is if I designate it for tomorrow. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, so it's really not very simple that's going to work. We're going to discuss it because it comes up with regard to Hatmana. And we'll discuss what the halacha. There's a machlekes rishonim on this. Just quickly.
I almost thought everyone would
be. So that's what we're saying. We're saying if it's totally raw right before Shabbos.
If you're on the next day, you can't do that. You can put your chalent on right before Shabbos.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But we're going to discuss. I really would love to get into more details of it right now. But there are conditions that you're going to have to meet in order to do it.
Low from them until you eat it.
You're saying if you're having a Friday night, it has to be halfway cooked.
It's the best. Shabbos. It's so good Friday night.
Is that what you were saying?
One second.
On an early Friday night, when you have dinner at 6, and then you're leaving and
seems
whatever,
like
and you're like meandering to the
you
kitchen at 10:30, come on, man. That is pretty terrible.
Okay, well, we'll stop right here.
Call the Opie special.